Hi everyone, I'm your host Tess from Spellbinding, and you're listening to Everyday Witch, a show that helps you discover and unlock the magic within. Hello everyone, I am joined by Safra, who is a feminine embodiment and relationship mentor with over a decade of experience specializing in helping women reclaim their feminine self-authority so they can get the aligned relationship and life they deeply desire. Her goal is to see every woman empowered, in love, and deeply fulfilled. And thank you so much for being here with me today.
My pleasure. I'm so happy that we get to share this space today.
Yeah, and if you wouldn't mind just telling our listeners a little bit more about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, my name is Safa, and I am a feminine embodiment and relationship mentor. So I feel like a lot of times people are like, okay, what does that mean? Those are already pretty words all put together. So to give you a little bit of my heart and to explain a little bit more of what I do. So for over a decade, I've been working with helping women reclaim their voice, reclaim their power, find their way back to who they are, because it's something that we sometimes tend to lose along the way, and often to break patterns and situations that have been keeping them what feels like stuck or even enslaved for so long. So I really work in feminine empowerment. Embodiment really comes down to the fact that I'm a firm believer that we can't just leave things in the realm of knowledge, but rather that we have to live them, right? It's really good to read a lot of self-help books, but if we just read them and do nothing about them, then nothing actually changes. And that's why so many of us for so long also feel like, dude, I don't get it. I've been doing the things, I manifest, I get up, I like, you know, do my journaling exercises. I, you know, even started doing shadow work and I do all the things and nothing changes. What is going on? And a lot of times what's going on is that none of that has been fully integrated. Integration means it becomes a part of who you are. And then when you start living it, that's when all the magic really happens. So in a nutshell, that's what I do. We can call it women's reclamation. We can come in, you know, and say it's feminine liberation. I work a lot in feminine energetics. So that is the work of my life. Yeah.
That's awesome. I think it's also really important, especially right now, to have that type of work and someone to turn to be able to help you through that, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest things I've started to notice in my own day-to-day life. And one of the reasons why I do the work that I do. So it's funny because I was actually just writing a post about this and it's interesting. I never felt like I could be qualified enough to say, oh, I'm going to be a life coach, even though I've spent most of my life, even from middle school, talking to women about their lives and how to improve them and how to live more present and how to thrive and how to find love and how to express that love. You know, it's really, really funny. I really do sit back and go, holy bejesus, I had like a 30-year-old woman asking me as a middle schooler how to, you know, go about her relationships in her life and how to make her life better. And there was no like logical reasoning-based understanding for this other than there was a soul level call from my spirit and from their spirit to work at this level. And in that path, along that way, what ended up happening was I was that person seeking knowledge. I was the one reading all like, you know, the Gabby Bernstein books, and I was the one collecting like Amanda Francis meditations. And I was the one doing all of those things because I wanted to go deeper with it. And I kept feeling, even through my yoga practice, even as a yoga teacher, because I've also been teaching yoga for like 12, 13 years. So even through all of that, I still felt like, oh, nothing is moving. Nothing is changing. Everything stays the same. I still don't know who the hell I am. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I feel like I'm still in this really awful relationship that I don't want to be in. I was in a toxic marriage for like 12 freaking years. So, you know, like it just was one of those things. I couldn't figure out the how. And the truth of it is that the how gets us stuck because how isn't an act, it's not a verb, it's not a being, it's not a breathing, it's not a living. The how is just an up here in your mind type situation. And when you get in that realm, what you start believing is that you know everything. You believe it's so funny. It's like a double-edged sword. Like on the one hand, you're like, ah, I can't find the how. I need someone to give me the clue, the key, the thing that's going to like open that door for me. But at the same time, if someone does come along and says, I can hold the space for you, I can show you, I have walked this path, you know, walk with me in this path, then you're going to be like, nope. I know how to do this. I already do shadow work. I already do meditation. I already do, you know, like somatic work. I already do these things. Why do I need you? And so it's really funny. I laugh because I have been that person in my life. And so when we as humans, I'm going to globalize this a little bit, when we as humans come to that point in our lives, I understand the resistance. I have been the resistance. Like, I understand what that feels like. And what I can tell you from personal experience, as well as from working with other women in my world, one-on-one or in group, whatever it has been, is that the change doesn't actually happen until you open up the possibility to the door that you don't know everything. And that what you need is someone to witness you. I believe in the power of every person in this world. So I'm not going to say, oh, I'm going to coach you and grab you by the hand and take you step by step and tell you exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. That's not me. I believe in your power. And I know that this is inside of you already. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to shine a light into the little spot that you can't quite get to yourself because you're in the middle of it. One thing I also always say is if you're in the middle of the storm, you're not going to be able to see the way out of the storm. It's going to take someone with a bird's eye view of the situation who is non-attached, who doesn't have really deeply entrenched subconscious stories and meanings around the thing to help you, to come in and say, hey, have you considered the possibility of this? Or are you looking at this over here? Did you miss it? Did you see it? Have you touched it? Have you like felt it? Have you, you know, spent some time with it? And that's where the true alchemy of the work that I do comes in. And that's where the true alchemy of becoming lies for each and every one of us.
Yeah, I love that because it's sort of like what a therapist does. You're a third party and you're just there without any opinions because you're not involved in the situation to clear things up because you can see it with a different perspective that they can't see it. And so yeah. I think that's great. Yeah,
it's very similar. I find that for me, a lot of the things that cleared up in my life that allowed me to calibrate to higher and higher levels did come from either spending time in therapy or spending time with my mentors. What I discovered for myself was that therapy also got me a little bit stuck in the realm of the mind. While I had a witness to be there and sit with me and understand me and ask me questions that I needed to answer myself, for me, where I ended up finding, and this, you know, I say this because I hear this reflected back with a lot of my clients as well, that they'll be like, ah, I've been going to therapy for like freaking 10 years and I haven't learned this until I started working with you. And it's not a place of vanity. It's a place of like, here's what happened to me as well. Like spending time in therapy still got me stuck in my mind. And the distinction is that you now have someone who is going to ask you to calibrate to a higher level because they've been through it, first of all. So in other words, I'm never going to say, oh, do this thing. I've never done this thing. I hate that. It feels so wrong for me. It's just not like the thing that I do. That's why, like, even in relationship realm, while I have moved past a toxic relationship and now I am in a beautifully aligned relationship, I don't feel comfortable saying, come work with me and you'll find the love of your life, because I didn't do dating the way that, like, you know what I mean? Like this manifested for me in a particular way because of where I was in my life. So I wouldn't say that. What I would say is come walk with me and I will help you figure out the things in your way that are keeping you from that aligned relationship. And together we can do this. And what I found a lot in therapy was that what was said was like, how do you feel about it? And that was cool. And that was really cool. And it was very necessary. And I needed something further than that. I needed the, how do you feel about it? And where can you calibrate to from now on to get you even further past that point? And that's sort of where I come in. And I always say, look, if you're going to therapy and you're working with me, go to therapy and work with me, because there's a time and a place and a way for everything. And there's time and a place and a frequency for everything. So it's always good to play at all of those edges.
Yeah. I think that's great advice. And on your website, you mention awakening your divinely feminine power. Can you talk about what that means?
Yeah. And I'll try to keep it concise because as you can tell, I talk a lot. That's one of like my many qualities. I just, I'm very verbose. I think a lot of times when we start talking about energetics, we get a little caught up in the genderization of the thing. I'm not speaking about the feminine as in only if you're a woman and you identify as a woman. Like, I think that that's bull. And it's so much more than that. When we're talking about energetics, we're talking about polarities. We're talking about magnetic fields. We are talking about resonance. We are talking about vibration. We're almost entering the world of Nikola Tesla. And as much as he always said, if you want to understand the universe, and I'm going to butcher this quote, so please don't yell at me later. But like Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the world, the universe, understand it in terms of light, vibration, and frequency, or frequency and energy. That's why I always butcher it. But he said this for a reason. Everything in the universe is made up of light, vibration, frequency, energetic, and it moves and displaces in those arenas, which means everything in the universe carries the essence of feminine energy and masculine energy at the same time within that container. Now, when I say awaken your divine feminine energy, it's the following. Remember me saying earlier, I believe in your internal power. Every single woman on this planet is powerful. I believe that. I believe every single woman. And that means woman, whether you are born or just identify, or even if you're like non, you know, binary, I don't care. If you're in the feminine energetic realm, the way that I'm speaking to, you have a power inside of you and you are a goddess. Now it's about becoming that, feeling the embodiment of it. So there's that divinity within you, which means you know the thing, you know your intuition is there to guide you. You know what is going to be aligned to your highest good. You know how to show up for yourself. You've just lost your way and you're ungrounded because there's a disconnect between your energetic field and your mental sort of like hyper awareness of the things that you want to assign matter to that are actually more intrinsically connected to your subconscious mind than ever before. And if all of that sounded like mumbo jumbo to your listeners, I totally get it. I can simplify it even more. Awakening your divine feminine essence is akin to wake up, remember who the hell you are, gather your things, leave the toxic spaces, and reclaim your power in full without ever being ashamed about a single ounce of who you are, even if that ounce feels so dark and so shameful and so like wrong that you want to hide in a corner. Learn to love it beyond the self-love that we've been taught all over for so long. Take it beyond that, because that type of self-love sort of like lands at acceptance, which is tantamount with putting up with. I don't want you to put up with yourself. I want you to embrace yourself so freaking deeply that there is not a single moment in your life that you don't wake up and go, oh, this is me and I'm going to wake up and this is how I'm going to show up for my life at this high frequency at this level, not because good vibes, but because I get to choose how I'm going to be in this space. And that means I'm a goddess in embodied form because I'm divinely feminine, not because I was born with a vagina, but because I'm choosing this energetic field as the realm in which I exist.
Yeah, I think that'll resonate with most people, hopefully. I feel like you already touched on this a little bit, but is there one specific thing that inspired you to help others feel and become more empowered?
I kind of sort of did. It's a little bit of a long story. So again, I'll try to keep myself brief. To be honest with you, it all started with like an undercurrent flow of like warmth through my body. Okay, that sounds too ethereal. Let me bring it back. Sometimes I get very poetic in my life, and it's just the way I express. So when we took a trip to Israel, and I was brought up in a religious household. So a part of me was expecting to have like, you know, your standard like religious experience when you go to a Holy Land or whatever. I honestly want to say that like I was almost very much demanding that the universe give me some sort of like miraculous thing. Like I almost wanted to be Moses talking to the burning bush. You know, I was having that thing and it didn't happen the whole trip. And I remember, I think it must have been like second or third night that we had been in Jerusalem, we made our way up to the Wailing Wall. And what struck me, sort of what really hit me like a ton of bricks, was that as soon as we got into the section for the women, because it is divided, As soon as we got into the section for the women, I started feeling something change inside me. I remember sweating, and I remember kind of like almost vibrating. It wasn't that I was shaking, but there was almost like a vibration to my soul and to my body in that moment. So I could just feel and hear and almost like scent and taste the love of the women in that freaking space. I could just, it was so palpable that I really could almost like take my fingertips to it and kind of draw with it. It just was so beautiful. And I remember feeling like asking, like, what is this thing? What is this? I feel like I have known it and loved it and missed it all my life. I have no idea what is happening. I had never felt so incredibly in awe of anything in my entire life. And I knew instantly, this is the divine feminine, this love, this devotion, this level of caring, this mantle of just giving of yourself so freely in that moment, because you're coming from a place of like creative expression, almost like being rebirthed over and over and over and over again, and then being cherished over and over and over again. And just like in that essence, I just knew there was something distinct about it. And that's when I was like, I came home and I was like, I need to learn more. I want to discover more about, you know, the goddesses. I want to discover more about the divine feminine. I want to know what this thing is. And one thing started leading to another, and then it started pouring out of me. You know how like they say, like, out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's very true. I was so full to the brim of this like sacred feminine energetic that I had found in that space, that every class I started teaching in the yoga world after that, or any kind of like workshop I led, or any kind of thing, a retreat that I did, it all had the undercurrent, like layer and flavor and essence of the divine feminine. And I always made it a point. It didn't matter who was in class. I always made it a point to talk about feminine energetics and what they meant and how they presented themselves in our lives, and about how we can just sit back and receive and how that is miraculous and all of these things. So that was sort of like the entry point for me. And it just expanded after that. And it continues to evolve more and more with like each iteration of like my breath almost, you know?
Yeah. I always find it interesting how it's like, it's never just one specific moment, but there is one specific moment that most people can recognize that led them down a path, because then you just follow that path and it leads you so many different directions.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that path actually took me so many different ways. I mean, I think that path solidified the healing that I had already started doing in my body about healing my eating disorder. And it started healing some of my subconscious wounds. And it led me to like sit at a red tent and once again feel that. And it just kind of, you're right, it just leads you down many different paths and many different roads. And each one of those is going to give you more and more of an answer, or more and more of a piece to the puzzle.
Yeah. You also on your website talk about incorporating shadow work and introspection into your practice. How has that helped you on your own journey? And if someone decides to work with you, what can they expect from that?
This is my jam. Okay. So first of all, after this like moment of like aha that I had, you know, in like the Holy Land, you'd expect that I would come back and maybe like start researching like, you know, the Virgin Mary or something like that. But I 100% did not. Like, I got back from the trip and I was like, I want to learn about Kali, and I want to reclaim Lilith, and I want to like sink my teeth into Inanna, and I want to know that like in Hedwana space, and I want to like just go into like the deepest, darkest parts of self. And the reason why, and what it means to work with the subconscious. So think about it this way. Remember how I was talking earlier about like the realm of knowledge, and how the things that we like know at this level, they don't really sink into full embodiment. That's because what happens is that we grab them and we try to put them into our conscious living, our kind of like day-to-day living, while in the meantime, in the background, in the foreground of our minds, which is like about, I will say like your subconscious makes up about 90% of your brain, your thinking, your living happens like mostly in the unconscious world, the subconscious that you're not even aware of. So in the background, while you're trying to grab onto this thing in the background, there's a story about something that happened to you when you were five that you've been holding onto with every fiber of your being because it was so important and so monumental to you at that age that you're just like keeping it. And you know that it means that you are not a good enough person, that you are never going to amount to anything, that people are always going to push you aside. It could be so many different things, right? And you're holding on to it so deeply that as much as you want to make this like the foreground and like the everything of your life, you're still living here. And so that is what I mean when I say, let's talk about shadow work. I think a lot of times people get a little bit like freaked out by the word shadow work because it sounds like shadow. And it's like, it cracks me up. Like on the one hand, I wonder, are you afraid of your own shadow in terms of like, have you stepped outside into the sun and have you seen your shadow follow you? Because it does this, like it is a physical thing that happens. On the other hand, I'm like, no, yeah, I am 100% sure. I know that you are afraid of your shadow because I have been to the shadow world many times. I was just there this morning, like a few minutes before we got on this call. Like I have been to the shadow world and back, and I know that it's not always easy and that it asks a lot of your heart and of your soul, and it asks a lot of presence and courageousness. And so I know that we don't as humans like to touch the thing that caused the pain. Like, no, I don't want to think about the time that that person said this about me because that hurt too much. And if I think about it, I'm just never going to come out of it and I'm going to break down and I'm going to die. Okay. You're not going to die. You're going to be okay. And it's important for you to be able to be an observer, not embed yourself in that thing, but to be a gentle observer of that thing so that you can learn from it, love it, and start walking with it. Notice that at no point in time did I use the words heal or change. So what you can expect when you come to work with me is that we are going to go into the spaces of your heart and your mind that are going to give you the biggest points of liberation, that are going to help you uplift your life to the most like wondrous places, that are going to change your life the most. And at no point in time am I going to ask you to change who you are, or to force yourself to give up parts of yourself to get there. That's important to me because look, healing does happen and it's important. And it is the work that I do. I help women heal. Yes. And in that space, what I always like to say is understand that this point of your subconscious self is valid. The fear that they were holding on to, the pain that they experienced, the ideas, the thought processes, the stories that came up were valid, are still valid, and are going to continue being valid and are going to show up in your life every single step of the way. We can't make them disappear or destroy them. What we do is we calibrate with them. We kind of like take them by the hand and walk side by side with them. And to me, that has always made the biggest distinction in the kind of work that I do. Because even in my own personal like self-exploration of shadow work, right? So like I told you, I was doing shadow work right up until the point that you and I got into this call. So this morning I was doing just a conversation with myself about my fears. And in that conversation, at no point in time am I expecting myself to get over it. I'm not expecting to let it go. Like these are words and phrases that we hear so much in the healing community that we get used to them and we kind of parrot them to each other. Oh, you just have to let that thing go. And that to your spirit feels incredibly bypassy. Like it's like, hang on a second. I'm not just going to let go of this abuse happened. This thing happened. This feeling happened. This came up. This is real. So for me, it's much more important that we validate it and say, yeah, this is a true thing that we are feeling now. Where the distinction is, where I challenge myself and where I challenge the people that I work with comes in is, how are you going to show up, or what is the space that you are going to take up in this world, knowing that I am afraid that, you know, I will be rejected, or knowing that I'm afraid I will be disappointed. Okay. You've got that wound. We all do. how are you going to show up in this world? Like, from what space of creativity, and in how much can you drop into your feminine self-authority in this moment through that thing, with that thing by your side, knowing that this is not something that gets to take over and manipulate you and completely change your life in a negative way, right? So if I know that, you know, my heart of heart fears rejection, for example, then I'm going to walk side by side with it and say, in this moment, I'm going to show up from a place of feminine self-authority and say, I am afraid of getting rejected, and I'm still going to put my best foot forward, and I'm still going to say the thing, and I'm still going to choose myself, and I'm still going to hold space for the fact that I belong, and that I am worthy, and that I am valuable, and that I am still feeling the sharp edge of the rejection. And that's okay. And so it just changes the whole dynamic. So that's more what I mean by shadow work and kind of like exploring those aspects of self. That's a little bit more of the flavor that you get when you work with me. It's much less let go of that thing, get over it, move on, let's heal it as fast as possible. It's much less that, and it's much more, why is this showing up for you? Can we put the question of how out of the way, and can we now start living in the what, where, when, and why? And with that, choose the expression of your soul in this realm.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much, because like you said, in the healing community and stuff, it's always like, just let it go. Or once you forgive someone, then it's over and you're healed because you were able to forgive them. And I think that's really hard, because a lot of times people can't forgive someone, or they feel like they can't forgive someone. And then it's feeling like you failed because you weren't able to forgive that person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's actually really interesting that you bring that up. I have, over the years, one of the things that I've realized, especially having been brought up like in a religious community, and so some of your listeners will relate to this really hardcore. So, because that's one thing that is shoved down your throat a lot, forgive. If you don't forgive, you're never going to be forgiven. Or if you don't forgive, you're not going to manifest. Or if you don't forgive, you're going to hell, whatever. There's so many different variations of this, right? So you kind of force yourself to like sit there and swallow all the things and make yourself believe that you're forgiving someone, when really what's happening is you're just dismissing yourself. And so the one thing that I've learned is, if you forgive too readily in your life, you're likely carrying a very deep shadow wound around your own self-importance in this world. And so self-importance is a phrase that freaks everybody out. So if that already you were like, oh, well, I don't want to be self-important, that means that I'm going to think I'm too much. Or if you're already kind of going down that road, just hearing me say that, especially as it pertains to forgiveness, like if you're thinking, oh, well, that's just selfish, you definitely have to forgive people. If you don't forgive people, then you're just like, you know, a mean-spirited person, and you're going to hang on to a grudge, and that's bad. If you're thinking that, I love that you're thinking that. It's normal that you're thinking that. And that is a very deep shadow wound of your like subconscious mind showing up in that way.
Speaking of like shadow work and all that stuff with changing, you talk about repeated patterns on your social media a lot. And I love all the reels you do. So can you give our listeners advice on how to break repeated patterns?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, patterns that we repeat are also my jam all day long, every day. So patterns that repeat in your life are going to show up in moments of misalignment in your life. So if you know that for some reason it's felt to you like every single relationship that you have had has been a toxic relationship, and you've ended up with like someone who's been either a narcissist, or you think may have been a narcissist, like, okay, fine. If you feel like that is happening in your life, the first thing I want to say is, let's put away the old story and the old narrative that you attracted this into your life, because that makes my skin crawl like you have no idea. I have had so many clients and even friends and just people in my environment who come to me all the time and say, well, there's only one common denominator. And if I keep having these people in my life, and if I keep dating them, and if they keep finding me, then I must be the problem. Okay. First of all, stop. You are not the problem, and you are not attracting these people into your life. What's happening is you find a semblance of comfort and of symmetry in your life very appealing. You find it attractive that this person may or may, like, you may find it attractive that this person calls sometimes and then doesn't call sometimes because that's what you were brought up with, or because that's how you first fell in love and the first relationship that you had was very hot and cold. And that is what your subconscious mind and what your body, because your body remembers these things at a cellular level. So even the cells in your body are remembering this as something somewhat comforting, believe it or not. Like, it's very destabilizing and you don't like it. I know you don't like it. Who the hell would like it? And yet you come back to them because they feel so familiar that there's almost like a comfort to them. It's not quite like an addiction. I've heard that be compared that way before too, and I understand where it comes from. I differ a little bit in that opinion, and that I feel like it's not so much like an addiction, like you can't quit the bad boys, right? How many times have you said or heard this, right? Oh, I just can't quit the bad boys. Okay, for me, that sounds more like I'm going to give all my power away to all of the external things that are happening and to all of the external people in my life and make it about the fact that I can't resist them and I have no control and I am like this little in their scope of the world. Instead of going, I'm going to reclaim my self-authority and take radical ownership of my life and show up like a boss babe and say, I find this bad boy behavior appealing because I've gotten used to it and because I believe in some subconscious part of myself that if they treat me like this, then XYZ, or that the sex is going to be amazing. Or there's so many ways that this could go, like, because it's so individualized to each person, right? So I can't give like a super specific, like, narrowed point. What I can say is, if it's repeating a lot in your life, if friends are constantly quote-unquote backstabbing you and selling your secrets to like the next bidder or whatever, if they're like the people you're dating are all toxic, if you always get into the same types of fights with your family members, these are not things that you are doing because there's something wrong with you and because you're broken and because you haven't healed enough. Put that story away. What's happening is you've gotten accustomed to show up at this level for yourself in your life and to recognize these things as how the world is, how it operates, and what I deserve in my own world too. So not only are you looking at this as, oh, this is sort of like my comfort blanket. I actually always, okay, so for the nerds in the audience, and I'm a phenomenal nerd, like I'm just like the biggest nerd, you will appreciate this. So remember Smeagol. Remember like the Lord of the Rings and think about like that little creature that was so addicted to this thing that was destroying it to the point where it didn't even look like a hobbit anymore, but it just like some deformed, gross, nasty thing that it was so like dependent on it and that it felt so comforted by it, right? It felt so like in the space of, this is what I know. This is what I like. This is, you know, how I like to approach the world. This is my binky, right? That he loses himself. And then in the process of losing himself, he feels like he's always at the effect of everything in that world. And like the only thing in the world that matters is getting back to that thing, that ring. So in a lot of ways, I always laugh. Like I laugh with like a lot of compassion because I do this too. We kind of like grab onto these moments of like misalignment in our life and we see them and we're like, oh, this was awful, but it's my precious. It's like, I like, this was terrible and I never want it to happen again, but it's my precious and it's mine. It's my own, you know, like I get to have it. I get to keep it. And then I get to like look for something similar in someone else because it's the only thing I know. And it's a lot easier to say, this just keeps happening to me, than to take radical ownership and radical responsibility and say, okay, there are parts of me that have not healed this, that still believe that this is important in my life. And so I keep looking for their equivalent. I am no longer going to do that. No longer doing that means you're going to be a little bit uncomfortable, means you're going to have to put away your stories of soulmates and twin flames. And you're going to have to put away the wishes of, oh, I'm going to make a love potion. And this is what you're going to have to put all of that away and start appreciating you at a level that you can show up and say, ooh, yeah, that's a very bad boy kind of thing to do, to just like ghost me after like this. And I don't play that. So thanks so much for being in here. I am no longer going to allow you access or grant you access into my world. So do you feel like the energetic shift all of a sudden? It's like, oh, right, I'm in charge. I have this like this space to choose, and you're not at the effect of. It's not that you're wrong or you're broken or you're attracting these things. I really wish that we would have not used that word to describe this for so long, because there are things that we can and do attract into our lives. However, two things. Number one, I have always said, I'm such a talker, right? I'm such a big believer in the power of words because I believe that they cast spells. The first thing is I've always recognized the energetic field around attract is much lower than the energetic field around magnetize. So that's the first thing. So if you really want to magnetize something amazing into your life, you're magnetizing it, you're not attracting it. The second thing is attract is like, it can get too convoluted. So as much as you can, if you're like, nah, just keep attracting these people, stop. Anyway, okay, I'm going to stop rambling.
No, I think that's really great advice. And it's actually funny that you brought up like the toxic relationships and people saying, you know, oh, there must be something wrong with me, because that you posted a reel that was like about that. And it was literally the same day that my sister came to me and she was like, well, there must be something wrong with me because it's just always the same guys. And I sent her that reel because I was like, this is literally the exact thing that she's just said to me. So it's something people say all the time and think all the time. And I think it's really important for people to understand that, like you said, it's just a repeated pattern and they can do something about it, but it's not them.
Yeah.
So I think that's great advice. And then talking about attracting and all that stuff, one question we always ask our guests is, what does magic mean to you?
So again, magic to me is the heart of the divine feminine. It's the fluid vibrational expression of the universe in energetic form. You know, it's what connects us together. Therefore, it's love. It's what brings about rebirth. Therefore, it's death. Therefore, it's also life. It's the connection of intuition to true, almost like human-based, matter-based reality. So magic is all of those things. And to me, the deepest truth of magic is that essentially it's love. It doesn't require any kind of specific rituals. It doesn't demand any kind of specific tools. It asks that you show up in full and in presence, and that you open yourself up to both gift and receive, which are also fields of the feminine energetic. And it is just beautiful.
I love that. Another thing you discuss a lot on social media is toxic relationships. And I was wondering if you have like one red flag that is your no biggest red flag for starting a relationship.
Oh, goodness. Okay, let me think on this. So it is going to vary from person to person, mostly because, like we were discussing earlier, each of us is going to find attraction points to wounds of the subconscious self that have been generated since we were very little, right? So what I find attractive, you may not necessarily find that you're being attracted to. But here's one that I say a lot. And that a lot, it shocks people. One that I say a lot is be mindful of that feeling of butterflies in your stomach. Not all of them. So I will caveat this by saying, dude, you went on a first date, you had those butterflies, you were nervy, you were excited, it felt like a roller coaster. That's awesome. If that feeling continues for a month, 2 months, 3 months, be very mindful. Because our body is very intelligent and it will send signals in a somatic way, like at a somatic level to our, you know, conscious and unconscious on a neurological level to say danger. And that is one of the ways in which it shows up. So it's kind of like, actually, to go back to the roller coaster example, right? You are in line, you're going to get on this roller coaster. You've been so pumped. You went all the way to Six Flags or to Disney World and you're like ready to get on this thing. You're like, oh, you're feeling all the things. You get on the thing. And then when you're done with it, there's like a calm, right? You're like, okay, it's good. If you would have stayed on it, and at some point there was the possibility of it breaking down, your body would have kept feeling that sensation the whole way through. And so for us, butterflies, yes, they show up when we're excited, and they show up when we're nervous, and they show up when we're scared, and they show up when our nervous system is dysregulated. So speaking of like reels, right? I actually just made a reel on this where I was like, is it really a soulmate connection or is your nervous system dysregulated? And you were interpreting things the way that they are not actually meant to be. So what I would say is, on a recommendation on what to do as like an actionable creative step from here, is pay attention. Not just to the feeling of elation, but to the sensory experience of everything that is happening within you as you are with this person. If you're with this person and you're like, oh, the butterflies, and I'm so excited. And then they say something that you're like, my whole body contracted, my stomach is dropping to my feet. I feel like, ooh, is that still butterflies in my stomach? Yes, because they're so cute. And you're going to talk yourself out of it. So instead of going there, sensory awareness, be present. Wow, that was an interesting thing to say. I'm going to observe more, and I'm going to choose how I'm going to, or to what degree or to what capacity I'm going to allow this person to keep showing up in my life. And that puts you back in the driver's seat. So that would be one of my biggest red flags that, you know, people are always kind of like shocked by. They're like, but butterflies in the stomach is good. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Just remember, you can hold space for a yes and in your life. Yes, butterflies are good. And sometimes too, they also tell you danger. So it's, as long as you pay attention, you'll be able to spot the difference. So yeah.
Okay, last relationship question. You post about the difficulties of leaving a relationship even if you're not happy. What advice do you have for people in that situation, and how can working with you help them?
Oof. Okay, so first and foremost, I will refer back to something I mentioned earlier when we were talking, and that is, if you're in the middle of it, it's going to be very difficult for you to get the bigger picture of it. Work with someone. And I, it doesn't have to be me. I'm not even saying come work with me. Like, you can come work with me. You're welcome. I'm just saying work with someone, because a lot of times the reason we can't let go of this person is, speaking of patterns again, because we do have patterning in us that tells us there's something wrong with us in this situation, or there's something inside of us. For example, one of the things that I hear most often when working with women who have either left or are in the process of leaving is this feeling of guilt. Like, I can't leave them. I feel guilty. I'm just as much to blame as this person is in this relationship for the things that have gone wrong. And if I do this, they're never going to survive without me. And they're telling me that they're going to kill themselves. And there's a lot of manipulative tactics that I've come across in doing this work that really blow my mind. And really what it comes down to is, if you don't have the support in place, and if you haven't recognized your own patterns, and if you haven't made peace with how to show up for yourself from a place of self-authority and from a place of love and from a place of grounded surrender, it's going to be twice as challenging. And a lot of times we end up just staying. I say this as someone, by the way, remember I said I was married for 12 years, right? And I didn't say I was happily married for 12 years and the last 7 were crap. No. I was in a toxic relationship from the time I was in high school till the time I decided to divorce. So, and this is big, like, and I'm not vilifying the other person. I'm not saying they were evil, blah, 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 blah. I'm saying there was toxicity, because there was toxicity. There was misalignment. There were things that were not working. And I stayed because my patterning told me to. Because there was this thing of, how can I break up a marriage? How can I leave this person? They've been so nice to me. Look at all the good things they've done for me over the time that we've been together. They've been such beautiful moments together. All these memories, all these things that we put in place, my dreams, my hopes, my wishes, my expectations. We were supposed to grow old together. We were supposed to do this thing together to the end. And a lot of times that's why it gets, and sometimes there's children. In my case, there wasn't, but I get why that makes it sticky and it makes it harder to leave. So, recommendation number one, work with someone who can walk side by side with you. Sometimes you just need what feels like permission. So, you know, as a quick example, in the middle of like me, because I had already chosen, I wanted out, but it took me like 5 years to actually do the out. And in that, we ended up going to therapy together because there's always that moment. So if you're married and you want, you know, you're in the process of getting divorced or you're wanting to ask for a divorce, expect that this will happen. No. We will finally go to therapy. We'll finally do the thing you've been asking me to do for all of these years. I'll go with you. And then you go, and because your therapist shouldn't, it would be unethical for your therapist to be like, leave him. Unless like they were, you know, there's reasons in which they would say that, but on a regular day-to-day basis, they're not going to. And so mine didn't. Mine was just sitting there listening to both and trying to mediate between both and essentially saying, oh, you can make things work now that you've been honest with one another. And I kept looking at her like, how dare you? I came to you because I want out and I don't know how to get out. You need to tell him that I want out. And then of course, that's not her task. So what I mean by be with someone who's going to support you is be with someone who's going to support you and see you and hear you and say, when you are ready to make the decision and to say and to take the step, I will be there for you. Who isn't going to negate you? Who isn't going to be like, nope, now you're going to make this marriage work because you're finally honest with each other. So, but, you know, be with someone who's going to hold that space for you and who's going to ask, hey, how are you feeling about this? Like, have you considered that maybe you're staying for the wrong reasons? You say that you believe that, this is one that I got a lot when I was telling people about the divorce. So you say that you believe that, well, not a lot, I got it once. You say that you believe that maybe your husband isn't going to fulfill you, but God can fulfill you. Okay. When you say that, how does that feel in your body? What message does it give you about what you believe about your own worth and your own value? Someone who's going to ask these really tough questions and calibrate you to a point where you actually need to be calibrated. Because here's the thing, sometimes it's really good for us to break and walk away, right? And it's necessary. Sometimes we can stay and mend, sometimes not. So it all depends. And if you're in the middle of like, do I, don't I? What you need is clarity, and you're not going to get that on your own. It's very rare that you're going to get it by reading self-help books or listening to podcasts or whatever. Because I did it, dude. Like, I got stuck for like probably 5 more years after that. So don't do this to yourself. Work with someone. And also to know that no matter what happens, it's not going to destroy you. Really, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, even if you feel like, but I don't work and they work and now I depend on them and like the kids and all, I understand. And I am honest. Like, if I could chop an arm up and like say, this is my offering to tell you that this is true, I probably would, right? I'd say like, I am telling you from the bottom of my heart, you're never going to be obliterated by this. You're not. You are going to make it through. This is going to be okay. And you are going to make it. So if that's the biggest fear of like, I'm not leaving because of this, breathe into it, move through it, know you're going to be okay, and then find someone. Because the other thing, the other aspect of it too, is like, now what? Now I'm out. Now what do I do? That's another reason why people don't leave. Because it's like, well, okay, I do it. And then what? Okay. Then you work on healing all the things. And again, you know, and not to say like, come work with me, but like to literally say, be with someone who speaks to your soul, who like has been through it, who's walked through it, who can say, yep, I've been there and back, and we can do this together, who will co-create with you. That's the whole thing. Doing it on your own, I'm not saying it's impossible and you're never, ever, ever, because the word never, right, doesn't work, right? I will say it's going to be twice as hard and you're going to get twice as stuck. So it's, if you want to hyper speed things and you want a quantum leap and if you want to calibrate to like goddess level like that, yeah, someone else outside of you is going to have a much better view of the situation and help much more deeply.
That's amazing advice. And I think, like we talked about in the beginning, it's really important to get an outside perspective to really help you see things more clearly. And I think this whole episode is just filled with amazing advice for people, especially about relationships and how to break patterns. So thank you so much for being on and, you know, giving everyone advice and education. And hopefully they check out your coaching and your website.
My pleasure. Yes. And everyone can find me on Instagram at Your Soulful Goddess or my page, like literally yoursoulfulgoddess.com. So simple.
Yeah. And I'll have your links in the show notes so people can just find you right through there.
Perfect. And thank you so much again. I love sharing this space with you today. It was so much fun.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode full of great advice about relationships and feminine power. There will be links in the notes, and don't forget to follow Everyday Witch Pod on Instagram to stay up to date.